Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
And good morning, everybody. Welcome in to Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace here on 102.5 The Game. Looking forward to another Friday show. And once again, Caroline's not with us. Is it another wedding?
I hope not. No. She's doing Jared's show this afternoon.
Caroline's at another
wedding, you know? Hey, but
she's on the circuit, no question.
Yeah, but before that, did you see her post about, you know, her throwing the first pitch?
No,
you
know, I haven't seen it. I got to watch it. Do we have video footage?
I call it a thunder arm, you know?
Yeah?
Yeah.
Look good?
I just saw the post right before she threw the pitch. She didn't actually, I don't know if she posted the actual pitch or not. But she says she threw 95.
95?
So, yes.
She's about to replace DeGrom in Texas.
I was going to say, she's going to have a new job. Yeah. She's going to be leaving us. She throws 95. She's getting a call from somebody.
So her arm is you know, she got it, you know, just sitting up on the couch right now.
Okay.
Just chilling.
Icing.
And ice, yeah.
Got to rest for the next
exactly.
one.
Exactly. Absolutely. Well, she's like, what was that movie when a little kid could pitch real good?
Angels in the Outfield,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Angels in the Outfield. Yeah. Yes.
Well, there was that, and there was – I always get them confused. Little Big League was one.
No, Little Big League was the one he could pitch.
It. Yeah,
yeah. Was that the one with the little kid with the Cubs?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
okay.
Yeah.
And then there, what's the one where the kid starts managing the Twins? What's the name of that one?
Oh, my.
I'll have to look that one up.
We got to make sure we get all these straight. They're all pretty good.
Yeah. So that's Caroline.
That's Caroline. Yeah. That's going to be the next movie. Then there's The Rookie for Dennis Quaid. It's the real life story. Jim Morris, who a left hander that did a tryout on a dare from his high school team, just coaching a high school team, and he was trying to motivate them, and they said, well, you need to try out. And he went out and threw like 94, 95, and they signed him, and they put him in the big leagues.
Well, we just got confirmation from one Caroline Fenton. And she says, the moneymaker is on ice.
Okay. All right. Now, Caroline's going to join us for Take It to the Bank at 1:45. Then she's going to be hosting Jared's show. So we'll get a firsthand account from Caroline's experience throwing the first pitch at the Sounds game last night. Our show, of course, brought to you by the new Zen Sports Sportsbook, the only sportsbook in Tennessee with a cash rewards program. Betting just got better. Download today. So we're going to do a couple of different topics today that we're excited about. We're going to talk about Matt Duchene here and his introductory press conference with the Stars. Then we're going to hit on something that hit Mike Florio and his show here recently. That's going to be at 11:30. David Pangoda is going to join us at noon to talk about the Brett Pesce thing that we discussed yesterday after the Future Stars game for the Predators. Some information he's got, there have been talks, according to him, between the Predators and the Hurricanes regarding a really, really good defenseman named Brett Pesce for the Carolina Hurricanes and a potential trade there. Some of it's tied into what other moves the Hurricanes might make, so that's something to keep in mind, but we'll get the info that he has. He is really working hard right now with a lot of hockey info. He's got a lot of good stuff going on, so we've got that. Then ask D-Mace at 12:30. Terry McCormick's going to join us at 1, and he's got some information, did a really good interview on the mental health, sort of the mental coach, if you will. And it really, they're trying to get away from saying it's just about your mental health. It is, but they're trying to engage it like, hey, this is a coach. You know, use this like you use a coach. You make yourself better. This guy's trying to improve you, so it can help you with your problems. And I think more and more teams are going to this approach. We're going to get that. We're going to get more information on that at 1 o'clock, and of course we've got to take it to the bank at 1:45. And all right, Nick, first week on the show, just know that on Friday, not only is it Ask D-Mace, but it's also Dad Joke Friday.
Yeah, Dad Joke Friday.
So if you've got any good ones, and you can also sort of be the judge, do you like it? Do you not like it?
Okay, yeah. I'm fine with that. You know, my dad, he says a few jokes from time to time. I'm just saying because it's dad jokes, but like he'll say some jokes from time to time. I'm like, what are you saying, man? Like, really?
I guess that's a good dad joke. Is exactly. It confuses the next generation.
Yeah.
And then after a while, you're like, you know, that was pretty funny.
Yeah. You laugh at it like 10 minutes later. Okay, yeah.
That hey, if it funny. Does set the scene, my family kind of calls me the old head from time to time because when I was like 5 or 6, I'd listen to Dean Martin music. So like that kind of helps out a little bit, but I don't know.
You're old soul. That's what you are.
Old soul, thank you.
All right, on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, if you want to weigh in with a dad joke, that's always welcome. Or, obviously, if you want to give us a thought on what's going on with the topics we hit on the show, and I'd love to hear some people weigh in on this Matt Duchene interview we're going to discuss. But Craig's helping us out here. Little Big League is the Twins, where the kid comes in and manages the Twins.
Yeah.
That's a good one. And then Rookie of the Year is the kid that has the freak accident and his arm becomes like unbelievably
superpower.
Strong. Yeah. Starts throwing 100 miles an hour. That's a funny movie, too. So we've got to keep those kid movies straight. Little Big League is the Twins. Rookie of the Year is the Cubs.
Okay
thank you,
Perfect.
Craig.
Thank you.
So Matt Duchene went down and really did a very long interview. And I wanted to make sure I listened to the whole thing before I, you know, got my thoughts together. Mm-hmm. Because last Friday was the day that the Predators bought him out, right? So think about the week for Matt Duchene. That was a pretty eventful week. Gets bought out by the team, and then the free agency period starts the next day. And so in 24 hours, he goes from being bought out to signing a deal with the Dallas Stars in the same division.
Now, what was the particulars of that deal? Do you know, Willie?
1 year, $3 million.
Okay.
So when you get bought out, you still get paid, I forget if it's two-thirds or three-quarters. I think it's three-quarters of what money you were guaranteed.
Uh-huh.
So you still get paid a pretty good chunk of what you were promised. So now he gets the $3 million on top of that, and so he's more or less making the same
amount,
what he was going to make.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a positive way of looking at it. Hey. You're double dipping, right? Right? You get paid by two teams.
Exactly.
That's not all bad. But so he goes down, and he was clearly, I think you try to put yourself in his shoes, right? Anybody who is bought out by a team, it's gonna hit you hard, right? It's gonna have you pretty shocked.
Because essentially
right?
what they're saying is that we don't want you anymore.
Yes.
You're not good enough for our team, or you don't fit into what we're doing moving forward.
And so he goes down there, and this is a quick turnaround. I don't know exactly what day he did this media availability, but he did a long interview. It was about 13 minutes long, and he was asked a bunch of questions. And there was a quote that Saad Youssef, who covers the Dallas Stars from The Athletic, put out there, and I'm trying to find it right now. I'm going to just pull up my phone because I'm having trouble getting it on my computer. But he basically said this. He talked to Jamie Benn and Jason Robertson, who have the same agent that he does. And those happen to be the first two guys. And the quote was, "The prospect of playing in Dallas, the opportunity to win. I haven't had too many in my career. That's something that's frustrated me beyond what I can explain." Now, I'll say this, and Robbie Stanley made this point this morning. That quote is sort of just part of a bigger answer that he gave.
Because he talked about his prior team before the Nashville Predators.
Yeah, he wasn't just talking about his time with the Predators. He was talking. He was with Columbus. He was with Ottawa. He was with Colorado before that. So he was saying, "I've never been past the second round," and he's excited about looking forward. But that quote, as you can imagine, kind of hit a lot of Predator fans, funny, because, you know, we've just been talking about all this culture thing that Barry Trotz has been, you know, really emphasizing. And if you read between the lines, I think that was a big reason why Barry Trotz, he wanted to shake it up.
Yes.
But I also think he looked at individuals that he thought would be who he wanted to bring on board with this new plan and who he didn't want to bring on board. to buy a guy out is expensive. It costs you money, and you don't get anything in return. So it was interesting to hear Matt Duchene say, I haven't had too many opportunities to win in his career. When if you're looking at it strictly from the Predators' perspective, he came in and joined the Predators at a time where the Predators had won two straight divisions. Mm-hmm. They had been to a Stanley Cup final. They had a President's Trophy. There was an opportunity to win, and he was going to be a big part of whether they won or not.
But?
and they had some success, not playoff success, but in that period of time, his seasons with the Predators, I think objectively, he really only had one good year.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think there were a lot of Predator fans that said, didn't have an opportunity to win? Didn't he have a lot to do with that?
You would think he had more to do with it than probably he's leading on. But, I mean, you can understand, you know, the frustrations of an individual. I think you have to listen to the whole video. Well, watch the whole video, listen to the whole interview to really understand what Duchene is sort of trying to get at. Like, he knows that this might be like the last curtain call for him, so to speak. Like, whether, you know, he wins this year in Dallas or he re-signs with Dallas, but he knows he's closer to retirement than not. So when these questions are asked, he's reflecting on where he's been, and it's not just the Nashville Predators. Predator fans, you got to understand, you didn't draft him. He was with another team, few other teams before he got here. So you can't just think that what he's explaining, he's directing it toward Nashville. He's not. You're part of his past story where he didn't get an opportunity to win a Stanley Cup. And I'm sure other guys that may leave here, they may think the same sentiment. Like, I want to win, you know, especially as you start to get older. I want to win. We were on some good teams, good organizations, but we just didn't win. Now I'm in a place where it seems like they are ready to win now. And they have the players and the leadership to do it. And you are in a really good city, sort of like Nashville here. And he explained that.
It just hits me in a couple different ways. Uh-huh. And look, Matt Duchene, he said some unbelievably nice things about the city. Mm-hmm. He basically said, we want to keep our family here in the city. He loves Nashville.
Yeah,
his family loves Nashville. He thinks this is home. So it was a shock to him. But what I didn't hear in that press conference was him really taking responsibility, any responsibility. It's one thing to say, look, things didn't go well, you know, guys got hurt. But somewhere in there, in a 14-minute press conference, I would have liked to have heard him say a little bit, hey, look, I didn't live up to expectations. I didn't hear that at all. I heard a lot of, it wasn't me. He didn't say those words exactly, but the theme was, hey, I played well. We just didn't win. But when you're paid $8 million and you came in as a guy that is brought in specifically to take a team that has been winning and take it over the hump, and it didn't come close to happening, and he had only one really good year, and it was a really good year 2 years ago, 40-something goals, 43 goals, I think. Other than that, I didn't see a great body of work. There's a reason why they bought him out. I didn't hear him take much responsibility, if any, for that. That's a little bit what struck me when he's saying, hey, I want an opportunity. Well, when he came in, the Predators were just as stacked as the Stars are right now.
Yeah, and that was what, toward the latter part of Lavi's tenure, right?
It was. His first year was the year that Laviolette was fired in January because things were not going well.
Okay, I want to ask you this because – Lavi, I think his style of play was much different from Hines' style of play.
Yes.
And it seemed like it's going – Lavi's
style of play was something that Duchene brought up in the press conference.
Exactly. So I think Lavi's style of play is sort of the same with what Trotsky and Coach Bruno wants to play, this sort of up-tempo. And that's where he excels. And he even said, like, listen, I score. That's what I do.
Right.
You know, he's like that. He reminds me of Vinnie Johnson sort of type player. If those, you know, basketball heads out there know who Vinnie Johnson is, the microwave for the Detroit Pistons, 007 against Portland, you know, and he hit the last shot to win the Pistons end up winning that game, end up winning the NBA finals that year. But the microwave was brought off the bench for instant points. That's all he did. Mm-hmm. Just score. Go out there and score. You don't have to worry about anything. Just score. Play a little defense, but your main thing is to score. And I think that's what Duchesne, his thought when he got here toward the end of Lobby's, Lobby's more of an offensive guy. Okay, I just score. But then Hines come in, and it changes a little bit. And I think that the year he had the 40-some goals, honestly, I think that's, not looking back on, I think that's the year where they probably were just like, you know what? Just do what you do best. Don't worry about anything else. Do what you do best. And he did. And then the next following year, for whatever reason, he couldn't duplicate those numbers. I don't know if the style of play changed, if they talked with him about some things, but he just couldn't duplicate what he had did the previous year.
Yeah, and Willie, to your point about Duchesne not owning up to some things in his press conference, the one thing that I kind of stood out to me was that he referred to his injury a lot and that he had a lot more to give after his injury. Mm-hmm. Well, at the same time, you got to own up to, you know, the performance you didn't get to it in Nashville, like you guys are alluding to now. So mm-hmm. I feel like, you know, using that as like a crutch or a scapegoat answer, it doesn't do it for me.
No. Yeah, I'm looking more of, you know, what did he do when he was in the lineup? Yeah. Right? I get it. People get hurt. So I've got a thought on the Vinnie Johnson reference, too, because okay. I think that's an interesting guy to circle here, because I think he could be more of a Vinnie Johnson on the Stars, yes. where he had to be more of the Isaiah Thomas exactly. for the Predators. When you're the $8 million guy, you got to be the main man. Mm-hmm. Vinnie Johnson could be the instant offense off the bench. Mm-hmm. I think he could be more that secondary guy for the Stars. But we'll come back on this. We're going to play you the clip when we come back, too. So if people that haven't heard it, you can hear maybe the full context. And I would encourage those, too, if you got a little more time, listen to the whole interview and just go, see what impressions you get from this. As the Predators move on from Matt Duchesne, he goes to Dallas. It's going to be a big storyline for the next coming season. Stay tuned. We're coming back with more. Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace here on 102.5 The Game.
I know it's a business, and I know you're going to take it personal, but do you kind of come with a little bit more motivation kind of heading into the season after a buyout?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I got, you know, a team when a team tells you they don't want you anymore, it's tough, right? And it's business, and the game is the business, but at the same time, the game is who we are as people. I've been a hockey player since I'm 2 years old. That's how I identify, and a lot of us do, and that's the hardest part about retiring from this game is all of a sudden it feels like, you know, you're half of yourself is gone. And so when you're in it, I mean, yeah, you take it personally. And I was very motivated coming out of last year. I had a tough injury at the end of the year and didn't get to finish, which, you know, I started preparing right away. I didn't really take any time off. And so I was already had that. And then now it's a whole nother level. And I think just the opportunity to win right away, I haven't had too many in my career. I've been, you know, the second round once, and that's something that's frustrated me beyond I can explain, you know, just to not have that really good taste. We had a heck of a team that year in Columbus that we could have gone to the finals that year. And so it was even more heartbreaking that it didn't go further. So to be part of this team that's been kind of a perennial, you know, deep in the playoff type team, and a team that's got a lot of guys in their prime, a lot of guys that, you know, guys like Pavelski and Suter who haven't won yet that are that hungry and still at a very high level, it's really exciting to come into. And again, I want to fit in, but I also want to come in and do what I'm, you know, being brought in here to do.
That's Matt Duchesne in his introductory press conference with the Dallas Stars. And once again, Matt Duchesne, as we've said for a long time, he is great with the media. He did a regular radio hit with Robbie and Rex for a long time. He is engaging. He's a student of the game. He analyzes the game very, very well. He's got some big strengths. This is not meant to just bury him on the way out. Okay, there's a lot of really good things about Matt Duchesne as a person, and he's a really talented hockey player. But the one thing that I see when I see a quote like that, and I listen to the context there, and this frustrated a lot of people. People, I think, from the outside, too, there's a lot of people that still are like, why would you possibly buy out a player and get nothing for him and pay him not to play for you? That's a major, major decision. Right?
Yeah, I mean,
that's a major decision.
But they did it, and people are kind of wondering, why would you do that? So I'm trying to illustrate why. And so what did you hear there? What I heard a lot of is there were other reasons. It's always another reason. It's not – there was no ownership of – well, I am a big reason as to whether the teams I play on win or lose. And there's always other circumstances. Well, I had some bad luck. Mm-hmm. I got injured over here. Now I'm going to a team that has a chance to win, implying basically that there was no chance to win going forward with Nashville. And I understand you probably have a little bitterness wrapped up in that. But when he came to Nashville, they had a heck of a chance to win, and he was going to be a big part of that. Mm-hmm. I didn't really hear a whole lot of, look, I got to do better. Mm-hmm. And while he was here, I think that was the wrap a little bit of really taking ownership of why the team wasn't performing up to what they hoped that it would. Mm-hmm. There was just too many times where he wasn't as productive as they hoped he would be. And when a player goes through that, you love when the players say, it's on me. Mm-hmm. I got to do better. I got to look at myself. And our team has to do better, but I'm a big part of this, especially when you are counted on for big production. Exactly. So that's what I heard from that. And that was the frustrating point for me. But I wasn't totally surprised at how that went down there, mm-hmm. because, like you said before, now he can go down to Dallas. It really, they could play to his strengths. He's got a good team around him. He doesn't have to take that type of responsibility for them. So it could work out really well for him here.
Yeah, it could be. It could. And, you know, I would expect for it too. I would expect for, you know, him to go to Dallas. And I'm not saying he's going to have 40 goals again, but I think what you're going to see in Dallas is what Predator fans were hoping to see here. And why he didn't give it to you here, I don't know. It was just inconsistent play.
What else did you hear, too, in that press conference? Not so much in that clip we just played, mm-hmm. but, hey, the system.
Yeah.
You know, the way we play. Mm-hmm. You mentioned it before.
Yes.
Peter Laviolette had much more of an up-tempo, offensive-minded system. Mm-hmm. He didn't play real well in that section of a season that Laviolette was still the coach. Mm-hmm. Then they went to John Hines, which was a little bit more of an edgy, little more defensive-minded, mm-hmm. little more structure. And he definitely clashed with John Hines. I think that was a big thing. John Hines spent a lot of time trying to get on the same page. And for the 1 year,
they did.
They were on the same mm-hmm. page. But you could tell during that press conference, he was clearly excited to go to a team that was definitely – the Stars for a long time were in that real defensive-minded, mm-hmm. try to win the game 2-1. And now they opened up, and it worked pretty well for them last year. So he's excited about that. So it's going to be fascinating to see how they try to use him, mm-hmm. and what kind of opportunities he earns on that team.
But you can tell by and I'm glad you brought up that particular answer, Willie, about the 2-1, and, you know, I don't like playing games. He also said, and people, please listen to the interview, because it's a good interview. But he also said, I like playing more of the 6-5 game.
He did.
Which tells me he doesn't care about defense. That's not where his game is, and he knows it. And he would rather play a high-tempo, up-paced game and score maybe 7-6 or 6-5. So what he's saying is, I don't care how many goals my goalie give up. As long as I'm out there, you know, having an opportunity to put the puck in the net, that's all I really care about. To me, that tells me he cares about one thing and one thing only, and that's scoring. And there's nothing wrong with that, you know, but if you are a part of a team that is asking you to do more than score, then I think you need to tailor your game. And I would almost bet a lot that he's not – that in Dallas he will have a – however long he stays, it will be much better than what it was here for this fact. He's not a guy, even if you paid him – $10 million. He's not a guy that's going to look at that $10 million and say, man, you know, the money they're giving me, I need to give them more. I need to give them more than just scoring. I need to do some other things outside of scoring. I need to be more of a leader. I need to be a Yossi type of player. Even if you gave him $10 million and that's the expectation from you, he's not going to give it to you. In his mind, it's just because he told you, I don't mind playing all 6-5 games. So what? I don't have to play defense. Just let me, just allow me to score. Put me in a position to score. That's why I think he will work out perfectly for Dallas, because he will end up being Dallas's what, third or fourth option, and he's going to may flourish in that.
And that's again part of the thinking of Barry Trotz is we want to open opportunities up for younger players. Mm-hmm. We want to see if they can take those big roles. Right? Can they be your number one power play? Can they play on a number one line and drive enough offense to win? Play well enough on the defensive end mm-hmm. to win? Those are what the best players do.
Is Duchesne still a number one front line guy?
Well, that's going to be the question for Dallas. Like mm-hmm. for he's the type of guy, like you said, he's not a guy that's going to kill penalties. Mm-hmm. He's not a guy that you're going to have on the ice you know, in a big-time defensive situation late in the game. That's uh-huh. not who you would have. And there's nothing wrong with it. There's plenty of players exactly. like that around the league. But those guys, to be effective, have to score and score a lot. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm curious about with Dallas is he going to earn power play time? Mm-hmm. Right? You only put your best guys out there for the power play. And you have two units. You have the first unit and the second unit. He was going to be part of the first unit here, but what happened with the power play? Most of the time that he was here, it wasn't very good. They had the 1 year where the power play clicked, and he had a great year. Mm-hmm. Power plays are a funky thing. Some years, even mediocre teams could have a great year on the power play, and good teams, really good teams, could have a shaky year on the power mm-hmm. play. But for Nashville last year to be a good team, they needed to be much better on the power play. They were an abysmal mm-hmm. power play team. So I'm curious how much power play time he earns for Dallas mm-hmm. because they've got guys. You know, he's on paper to me, I don't see him on the first power play unit. He will have to earn that or something's going to have to change, and things do.
An injury or something like
that. Yeah, something like that. So to me, it's a really fascinating thing. But Barry Trotz, he wanted to change it up, and he wanted players to replace him, like a Ryan O'Reilly, a Gus Nyquist, that even if they're not on the top power play, they can still help you win. Mm-hmm. They can kill penalties. They can be more 200-foot complete players. Mm-hmm. And then the other guys hopefully will make it up in scoring in time. We don't know for sure, but it's a calculated gamble. For Duchesne and, for that matter, Ryan Johansson, for them to be effective, they had to be scoring.
Yeah.
And the fact is, for the last 4 years, they just were very inconsistent with their production. They had some good stretches, but too many bad stretches where they weren't driving the bus the way that you need to when you're making $8 million a year.
Now they both go to teams where they can play to their strength.
Yes, and make a lot less money.
Exactly.
So there's less invested mm-hmm. in them, and so the chance is you'll get a better return on that investment.
Yeah.
So it's something to watch for sure, and it won't be the last time we discuss this, but just wanted to give you our thoughts on that Matt Duchesne press conference, because I know that quote hit a lot of people. And so we wanted to give it a little context. When we come back, we'll give you what sort of the national perspective is from one NFL insider on Mike Vrabel's situation coming back. Mike Florio on his podcast, webcast, whatever you want to talk about, he took a question from Nashville regarding Mike Vrabel. I think you'll be interested to hear his thoughts on what he sees as Mike Vrabel. Could he be on the hot seat if they have a bad year? Obviously, a question that always hits a lot of national shows. We'll give it his take and then our thoughts on what he said in response when we come back.
Michael Cameron Vey. Is Mike Vrabel on the hot seat if the Titans have a down season? He seems like a coach who gets the most out of his players, but has been clashing with management seemingly since he first arrived. I don't think he clashes with ownership. I think he and John Robinson clashed, and guess who won? Who won? Robinson didn't win. Vrabel won. Now, I don't know how much say Vrabel had in the hiring of Rand Carthon, the new GM. But if Carthon's smart, he'll realize Vrabel's got the juice here. Vrabel was the coach of the year. Vrabel takes whatever he gets thrown and turns it into something. That year that he won coach of the year, they set the record. They shattered the record for the number of total players on a roster in a given season. So I think Vrabel's fine. I think Vrabel falls into the category, just like with Mike Tomlin. If he would get fired, he would instantly be a top candidate for every vacancy, and there would be teams that currently have coaches that would think about firing their coaches to try to hire Vrabel. Same with Tomlin. There aren't many coaches that fall into that category. Andy Reid does, and it's ridiculous to even think about it because Andy Reid ain't getting fired. But there's a small group. If they'd get fired right now, it would be land rush to try to hire that guy.
That's Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk. That was his mailbag. Took a question from presumably a Titans fan on the outside perspective of Mike Vrabel. And that one struck you, D-Mace. And by the way, we're back here on Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace. Caroline hosting Jared's show later this afternoon. And so we'd love to hear from you. 615-737-1025, driven by WilsonCaddyHyundai.com. Got anything you want to weigh in on, please do. But, Derek, when you heard that statement, what was your thought?
After listening, you know, to all that, I mean, on one hand, I do believe Florio is correct because of what Mike Vrabel has been able to do in a short amount of time with this team. He's one of those guys that, you know, if the Titans choose to part ways with him, he will get another job immediately within, you know, the first couple of weeks or month, somewhere around there. Yes, he did win Coach of the Year. Yes, he did, you know, his roster was depleted, but he found a way to get the most out of those individuals. And they still were a playoff team. So he has those innate, he has those traits that not all coaches have. He's not so much of a, I don't look at Vrabel, even though he does know the X's and O's when it comes to defense. I don't think he's particularly if you ask him to call defensive plays, I don't think he can do that well. But he knows defenses. But I think he's one of those guys that is a great motivator. And you can't teach that. That's something that's one, it's in you. And if, you know, I'm sure if you ask the guys that play with Vrabel, they will tell you he was a leader. This is what Vrabel did. And that whole culture was sort of geared for him, a guy like him in New England. Or Pittsburgh. You got to look at the franchises he went to. He played at two of the most, well, three Kansas City storied franchises in football. Kansas City, Pittsburgh, and New England. And you're talking about, especially Pittsburgh and New England, you know, leadership, attention to detail, play hard and physical. This is what we're going to do. Motivation. He took all of that, and now that's the way he coached. Not necessarily X's and O's, but even though I know that, but I know how to motivate you. I know what buttons to push with each player to get the best out of them. So when Florio says that, he's absolutely right because, you know, as we will talk to Terry later, that whole mental aspect of the game has become very important. And that's the part of the game that Vrabel has tapped into more than anything. So he gets the most out of his players. But it's ironic, even though it's crazy, even though you do get the most out of your players, and then he started naming these coaches that, five or six coaches that, hey, if they got fired tomorrow, they would get jobs immediately. I think he may be the only one on that list without a Super Bowl.
Interesting thought. But in hearing you say that, I 100% agree that you come down to when you're comparing Vrabel and Tomlin, and you're right, Tomlin has a Super Bowl. Vrabel does not, as a coach.
Yes,
Vrabel
as a coach.
Was a winning player, and that's where he's built up, I think, a lot of credibility, mm-hmm. whereas Tomlin was not a great NFL player, mm-hmm. right? He came from a different pathway to get to being a head coach. But both of them share this. I think they are probably noted more as leaders, people who create, coaches that create an environment where they get the buy-in of the team, that everybody seems to be on board. Mm-hmm. It's not about, well, they outfoxed the other team with this great scheme. That's not the headline when you hear about Tomlin and Vrabel. And I think sometimes that is the thing that gets you the accolades as a head coach and probably makes you an attractive person for another job if either one of them get let go in the coming years. Because I agree with Florio that they would be very attractive and they would go right to the top of the list if they became available for another job. But it's because of that leadership. It's not because, well, Tomlin and Vrabel, man, they've got these great schemes that they take. That's not their thing. So I thought that. Now, the other thing that struck me from that clip from Florio, his outside perspective, and I think Florio is pretty plugged in, but I think it's pretty clear from our angle, Derek, that Vrabel had a lot of say in who the next GM was. So that's what's different about the Robinson-Vrabel dynamic as opposed to the Robinson-Carthon, is that it's supposed to be a collaboration. Vrabel was part of the hiring process of Carthon, which definitely makes it a different thing altogether, as opposed to Robinson hires Vrabel. That's the traditional way.
Yes,
right?
That's the
GM
way
GM hires coach.
Yeah, teams
this
usually
was,
do it.
Coach has enough clout with organization, with the ownership, that he had a say in who the successor was.
Yeah, and, you know, which makes you wonder, you know, and we spoke of this when the hire was made. You know, was Vrabel a part of the process? Did Vrabel have a say in it? It seems like Vrabel is the guy sort of pulling the strings more than Rand Carthon is. But only time will tell when it comes to situations like that. But Florio, you know, he was right. Whether if you believe it was a power struggle, then Vrabel won the power struggle. Why? Because I think Amy believes more in, you know, the persistent, you know, goals and the persistent vision that Vrabel has rather than what John was pushing and the moves that he was making. So she chose, because a lot of times when the GMs get fired, the head coach is right behind them. Or usually the head coach gets fired first, and then the GM may get another year. But if he doesn't straighten things out, then he's gone. So it was just an interesting interview from Florio. And, you know, whether Mike is on a, you know, hot seat or not, we will never know. But he's going to have to. Now everything lands at, you know, all of the – if they have any miscues or – any troubles with the roster moving forward, I think a lot of it will land right on his lap.
We'd love to get your thoughts on this. 615-737-1025. We see your phone calls, your texts lining up, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. When we come back, we'll go to them. Eric will lead us off. We'll get some texts that we're going to read on this. Your thoughts. At what point would Mike Vrabel be on the hot seat? And do you agree with Mike Florio that if the Titans would ever move on in the near future from Mike Vrabel, which I don't see happening anytime soon, he would immediately jump to the top of the list of eligible head coaches. He's done that much to build his coaching reputation. Your thoughts on it when we come back? And don't forget, at the top of the hour, David Pagnotta from the Fourth Period, NHL reporter for the NHL Network and some other outlets, talking about a potential trade involving the Predators and the Hurricanes with defenseman Brett Pesce. You're going to want to hear that. Ask D-Mace at 12:30. Stay tuned. We're coming back with more here on Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace. Hey, the Sounds are back in Asheville, action tonight in Nashville. Tonight at 6:35 on 94.9 The Fan. Good home stand going. Sounds playing good ball, 46-37 on the year. They take on the Columbus Clippers again tonight, AAA affiliate of the Cleveland Guardians. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza Company, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Family Leisure. It's been getting pretty spicy between the Sounds and the Clippers.
Big fight last night.
There's some stuff going on over there. Emotions have been running high.
Yeah. We have, what, a walk-off the night before, a weird walk-off, and now massive fight. That's crazy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So you might want to head to the park tonight. It's always a good time, but two teams that you're going to want to watch for sure. We're talking about Mike Vrabel, his status right now among the coaching fraternity. Love to get your thoughts. 615-737-1025. We've got Ask D-Mace coming up at 12:30. We've got a really good hockey interview coming up with David Pagnotta at the top of the hour as well to see what Barry Trotz might have up his sleeve. Are there more moves to come? He's got some info on that. But let's get to Eric with a comment about Mike Vrabel. And don't forget, it is Dad Joke Friday. So, Eric, do you have something for D-Mace here for his material?
Yes. I do have a dad joke. You may or may not have heard about this one, but I hope you like it.
Mm-hmm.
So a guy decides he's got to call an exorcist because he needs an exorcism performed on him. So he calls for an exorcist to come over. The exorcist comes over. He performs the exorcism on the guy. So the guy then tells the exorcist, he says, well, you know, I don't have the money right now to pay you. And the exorcist says, oh, that's okay. You can pay me down the road. Don't have to have the money right now. So, of course, the exorcist leaves. So about 6 months has passed, and the exorcist still has not been paid. So he comes back over to the guy's house and says, look, I need my money. I need you to pay me. And the guy that had the exorcist performed on him says, look, I'm sorry, I still don't have the money. I can't pay you right now. And the guy says, the exorcist says, well, I'm sorry, too. You know what happens after that?
What?
He's repossessed.
Repo.
Okay, I like that one. I like that one.
Yeah. I'm glad you do. Okay. Okay, so guys, about Mike Vrabel, the interesting thing is, guys, I actually happened to be flipping through, and I caught it on ESPN this morning, and they got into this question about, question was asked, I think it was of Jeremy Fowler, who he thought was the best coach in the NFL, and he said it was Mike Vrabel because he said this guy does more with less than any other coach. And, in fact, there's a question came up that said that if, say, for instance, if Jerry Jones decides to fire Mike McCarthy, definitely you should put a phone call. Mike Vrabel would be one of the coaches you would call immediately to come in to fill in for him, because that's the kind of the talk around the NFL is that he does more with less than anybody else. And I agree. I don't think he'd be fired anytime soon. I'm kind of surprised that comes up, where I've heard rumors that he's on the hot seat. Guys, that's my thoughts. Y'all take care and have a great weekend. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Eric.
Thank you, Eric.
Good stuff.
Appreciate it.
You know, I do think that that is very, very worth bringing up from time to time, mm-hmm. and that is the perception of Mike Vrabel outside of Nashville, right? Any coach in their market, I think this happens to Mike Tomlin as well.
Mm-hmm.
They get scrutinized. They get put under the microscope. When you lose on Sunday, on Monday, I don't care how good of a coach you are, you get second-guessed. Right?
Yes.
But outside of Nashville, you have a reputation. And for a guy that hasn't won a Super Bowl, he's got about as high a marks, high a respectability as you can. You just heard Eric give another example of it. What do we think that means? Like, I do think it's interesting to put that out there. Mike Vrabel knows about this.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so that gives you confidence, I think, as a coach. It gives you belief in yourself. I'm not sure he was worried about outside perspective or anything, but it does help you a little bit.
Yeah, I think it does. I think what it means, I think nationally, people feel that if he had a better team, he would have won a Super Bowl by now. Or let's just say a better quarterback. If he had a quarterback like Andy Reid has, or a quarterback like a Ben Roethlisberger, like Tomlin had,
mm-hmm.
Tom Brady, Belichick has, or had.
Right. He hasn't. I think it's fair to say that he hasn't had a loaded
team. And that's why the respect is so high for Vrabel, because of what he's been able to do, despite not saying that Ryan Tannehill's not a good quarterback. Ryan's a good quarterback. But you need either, if you have an elite quarterback and a good quarterback, you better have some really good things around that good quarterback. And the 1 year they had it, the quarterback was the reason why you didn't advance.
Right.
So I think that's why he gets the respect that he does, because people look at the Tennessee roster and say, you know, that's – if he had that roster that that Andy had, or if he had that roster that Tomlin had or Shanahan had, man, he would have been either in a Super Bowl already or in it and won it already.
And even the year that they were the number one seed, they were not preseason favorites
exactly
to win anything. That I think is important, because we always say, well, what do the predictions mean? Not much. Well, that's true, But it is important to note, when you're perceived to have had the horses, the loaded team, and I do think that goes to your evaluation and what people think from the outside of you as a coach. To your point, Ben on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, he texts in and says, if Vrabel had a higher level QB combined with building a team up like he did with the Titans, then he would be a coach for as long as he wanted to coach, even if they eventually had down years. He changed teams again. So I think that's a vote. I always think that you get scrutinized more in your home market than anywhere else. I'll give you another example in another sport. From afar, who's got the most pristine vision of any coach among any sport? Coach K would have to be on that list, right? Yeah. Coach K, perfect coach in a lot of people's mind. But I think people that have been around him, a lot of people have tons. I think everybody has tons of respect for him. But I think the closer you get there, you'll find some people that don't think he's perfect. Exactly. Nobody's perfect, right? Every
people
coach
say, well, he should have won more championships.
Sure.
Because his team's been loaded.
I'm sure there's a faction of Duke fans that think they should have won more or are on a particular year might have been more dissatisfied than other years. Nobody's perfect. Every coach has big strengths. Every coach has some weaknesses. You can't be the perfect coach necessarily. But from the outside, the further you get away, your reputation is what it is, right? And there are some coaches that have a great reputation, even though, just like everybody, they're not perfect.
No, they're not. But, you know, when you have done, when you've done what Vrabel has in such a short period of time, you're going to get more of the benefit of the doubt. When, you know, people start, is he going to be fired or is he on the hot seat? What? No, you're going to get the benefit of the doubt because people look at your roster and they say, well, he doesn't have that elite quarterback, you know, so.
And that's why we bring this up is the next 2 years will be very interesting with sort of the last hurrah with Tannehill, maybe Henry, maybe Byard. And then the next year or two when you're transitioning into a different team, can Mike Vrabel get through all of that? Or does he just get on the hot seat? Because sometimes good coaches get on the hot seat just because of circumstances.
Now, what is going to be interesting here is I do believe now the clock starts with Vrabel. Because you got to understand, those players that he was winning with wasn't the guys that he drafted. The key guys, Henry, Byard, you know, some of these other guys, there were Taylor Lewan. They weren't his guys. You know, Ben Jones. They weren't his guys. Now he gets to start with his guys, drafting Will Levis, Jeffrey Simmons.
Thank goodness it's not Ben.
Exactly.
Simmons.
Chigakonkwo, Treylon Burks, guys like that now that are going to be cornerstones of your team. Now you got to prove you can build and win with these guys because those last guys you didn't draft.
And he's got more of a say.
Exactly.
When we come back, we'll yo-yo back over to hockey. We've got a great interview coming with David Pagnotta from the fourth period. We're going to get the lowdown. Is Barry Trotz up to something here? Is there another big move coming? Possibly. We'll find out more. We'll see what David knows in a moment here on 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards. Free shipping with no minimum purchase. Triple points on 2 purchases and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.